Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. Choir kids are here with Mr. Woods, and he'll lead them in singing. And I'm Aunt Carolyn with today's story. We're surely glad you've joined us. How about calling a friend and telling them the call letters or dial numbers of the station you're listening to? Invite them to listen to the broadcast right now. Then maybe afterwards you can talk to each other about the Bible story. Bible clubbers make good friends, so get to know each other. And I'd like to hear from you, too, and know you're listening to the program and if it's a blessing to you. But right now, let's hear from the choir. Thank you, choir. Kids, I wonder if you've ever heard a couple of boys or girls quarreling and the argument got so bad that the children really became angry. One called the other in a bad name and the other one barked back, "Yeah, and you're another one." And from there the squabble grew. I wonder if you've ever felt so angry at someone, maybe a friend or classmate, that you just spouted off some hateful, hurtful words. People say, "Well, that's just me," or, "Oh, they know I didn't really mean it." Well, my friend, that may be just you, but that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. So if you say cruel words, that cruelty was first in your heart, and then it came out through your mouth. Let's ask the Lord to fix our hearts so that the words from our mouths will be a help and an encouragement to someone, not a wound or hurt. Paul told the Ephesians, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There's an old saying children used to learn, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me." But words can harm and hurt. Let's pray the prayer that David prayed. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Mean words are not acceptable. Don't just blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. Once words are spoken, they can't be taken back. Think it over first and see if it's a right thing to say. David prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That way you may be able to say with Isaiah, 'The Lord God hath given me the tongue of a learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary.'" You can be a big blessing to folks if your tongue is in God's control. May the Lord help us, even this week. And now, here's the choir before story time.
answered Isaac's prayer, he doubled it. Isaac and Rebecca had been married almost 20 years. They were happy together, but there was one thing lacking. They had no children. There were no happy baby squeals heard in their tent, no little fat feet running through, and no sandy little hands to wash after playing with the lambs and goats. The big puzzle was that God had promised Isaac's father, Abraham, that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea, more than could be counted. But how could that be if Isaac had no children? Isaac really got serious in prayer about it, and God answered his prayer. Oh, God is good and loves for his children to pray and seek his face. So, after 20 years of marriage, when Isaac was 60 years old, God gave them not one baby, but two wiggly baby boys. What a lapful! Yes, they were twins, but believe me, they were not identical. No, they were not alike at all. In appearance, Esau, the oldest, was red and ruddy, with heavy hair all on his body, and Jacob, the youngest, was of fair and smooth complexion. In disposition and character, they were opposites, too. Esau was a man's man, a rough and rugged outdoorsman, an avid hunter. He often brought in deer meat for his father to eat. That pleased Isaac so much that Esau became his favorite son. Now, Jacob was altogether different. The outdoors was not for him. He preferred to stay in or near the tent where there was shelter and convenience and comfort. He loved to cook and do more domestic-like work. Of course, his mother was glad for the help, and she came to love Jacob more. Right or wrong, that's the way it was. How could these twins be so different? It was a puzzle, all right. But there was one way they were not different. One way they were very much alike. They were both selfish and self-centered. They wanted what they wanted when they wanted it. I hope you don't know anyone like that. They wanted instant gratification. Let me show you what I mean. After being out in the field one day, Esau came home so hungry he thought he would die. When he got near the tent, a wonderful aroma drifted through the air. Oh, someone was cooking something good. He couldn't wait to get some of whatever it was. Whatever it was rich, thick pottage like vegetable stew. And the cook was his dear brother Jacob. "Jacob," Esau moaned, "give me some pottage. I'm about to faint." Now Jacob might have felt sorry for his brother and dished up the stew, but he got another idea. Esau had something Jacob wanted very badly. You see, nowadays a family's inheritance is usually divided equally between all the children. But in Bible times, the oldest son had a special birthright. That meant that he got a double portion of the land and money and possessions, and also the right to be the head of the family. And in this case, the spiritual blessing God had promised Abraham would fall to Esau, too. Jacob had often heard his grandfather talk about God's call as a special people and the promise of a great land and blessing. Somehow, Jacob caught how important that was. The more he heard, the more he knew he wanted that birthright. Esau was too wrapped up in himself to care about God or a promise. He didn't stay around to listen to his grandfather. He'd rather go hunting. Ah, Jacob thought, this is my opportunity. slowly stirring the pot, he mused. "Well, Esau, I'll make a deal with you. Sell me your birthright, and I'll give you some pottage." You drive a hard bargain, brother." "Maybe so, but no birthright, no stew." "I'm starving to death," he gasped. "You can have the birthright. Take it. Just give me some stew." Then Jacob thought, "If I feed Esau and he feels full and happy again, he might change his mind and break his word." So Jacob looked at Esau eye to eye and said, "Promise?" "Yes, I promise, I promise," came the terse reply. "What good is a birthright to me if I'm dead? Give me some food. Hurry, I'm dying." The birthright for a bowl of soup. In one moment of haste and fleshly desire, Esau gave up an incomparable heritage that could never be regained or replaced. Good warm pottage may have satisfied his appetite that day, but it left him empty for the future. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The wrong choice means being lost for eternity. A wrong choice can also ruin your life in this world, going somewhere you shouldn't go, running with wrong friends. Doing something wrong at the moment may seem small, but may bring ruin and heartache untold. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He offers eternal life to all who confess, turn from their sin, and receive Him as their only Savior. Receive Him today. This is one decision you will never regret.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt, saying God bless you until next week at the same time.